Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the China Startup Pulse. And we had a pretty darn good one today, didn't we, Ryan?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We spoke with Lucio, who's... we're only going to go through that last name adventure once, because he's Portuguese, half
Italian.
Half Italian last name with a thing at the end that reflects that it comes from his grandfather. And yeah, it's really hard to pronounce. But Lucio... as an amazing guy that has been around China for quite a while. Mm-hmm. He launched really the first 3D printer hackerspace here in China and went through a couple of different locations, partnered up with Xin Chi Jian, which was founded by David Lee, a previous guest on our show as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy, crazy story. We get into it. I don't want to give away the spoiler alerts.
The inspiration, like he's a dude.
He walked away from big company having the top C-level title at this company in Brazil for a long time, and then he does some crazy stuff and loses it almost and just says enough of this life. I hate this life. I want something different. And after ripping around the world in a while, he ends up back in Shanghai.
Doing a makerspace.
And doing a 3D printer makerspace.
Yeah.
And then now, you know, he's still doing that and he still comes over to help manage it and things like that. But he's off on this whole new adventure doing this whole new thing
in
Portugal.
I love it because it's got this whole, his whole story has sustainability as a theme throughout all of it.
Yeah.
It's about helping and making better the world. He wanted to learn. He wanted to teach himself all these things. And then at the very end of it, he wants to kind of tie it all together to make it impactful.
Yeah. Yeah. He did. He learned a lot. He learned a lot about trying to do stuff that, really wasn't, I think economically sustainable, that could reach enough people and make a big enough impact. So kind of realizing that he went from one extreme to the other, and now he's trying to figure out how to blend the two, but he became incredibly authentic and genuine through this whole process. He knows himself inside out now, knows what he finds happiness in, and is now building a life around that cornerstone.
Yep. That's could not say it better.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Hope you enjoy, everybody. Okay. Hi, everybody. We are here with Lucio, and we're going to take a shot. Yeah. Lucio Pantenya Guimarães Neto.
My shot is Lucio Pantenya Guimarães Neto.
Are you mad that we're butchering your
name?
Which
one?
Right now?
Who wins?
That's okay.
Now say it in the authentic Brazilian way.
Yeah, Lúcio Pantenya Guimarães Neto.
Excellent.
Jeez, Luis.
Excellent.
That sounds like butter.
Yeah.
Isn't it awesome? Okay, so so we're here with Lucio. And Ryan, you got to do a little of the background.
I'll do
check.
The background real quick.
Background check.
Lucio's got an amazing story, and he did law school and MBA in Brazil when he was there, but he even told me it's nothing that he's ever used.
No, this is the most fun story. This is the best background ever.
And then he's also self-educated in mechanical engineering and 3D modeling, among many other things.
Yes.
Which is insane.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And his first trip to China was in 2000 for his honeymoon. Came back every 2 or 3 years. He ran a holding company doing mining, cattle, and eucalyptus plantations, like reforestation in areas. And he got bored. He wanted to change his life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He bought a boat in Europe, sailed it with no experience all the way back home, and then kept on sailing for a year. And eventually in 2009, moved to Shanghai. And then decided to beached in Shanghai and started building. And what happened out of that gradually was Fab Lab, which we're here to talk about. It's an amazing story, and there's so much more to it. But welcome, thanks for all of that.
Yeah, right.
Thank
totally
you.
Crazy. It's so funny because then my first experience with Lucio was we were down here on the China Accelerator Geeks on a Train back when we were based in Dalian, and we would go around from Beijing to Shanghai and then back.
Oh, yeah?
And we were down here, and we were over visiting the Xin Chi Jian, the hackerspace over by the Transist and stuff like that. And it was at the time in the building with Wyden and Kennedy. So we've had, and this is interesting because that's when I first met David Lee, who's been a guest on the show. That's where I first met Joseph Constantin.
Yeah,
From Purple Spread and Unbelievable Labs, and it was actually him. I was upstairs just mulling around, and I was talking to Joe, and I met Joe, and then that's when I met you as well. And you were all hot and bothered because you had just got like a new machine or like a new CNC or something, and you had all these this little back room in Wyden Kennedy.
Yeah, they gave where
you
for
were
free.
Yeah, where you were doing all your you know crazy things and cutting things and showing things and stuff like this, and to see how it's all evolved. And then I'm like, oh, what's your story? It is like, I was like the CEO of a mining company for like 10 years in Brazil and I hated it. So I left and I sailed around the world and ended up in Shanghai. And so now I'm just going to stay here for a while and I never want to be the CEO of anything ever again.
That's basically my curse, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and I mean, what we want to save until, you know, till later is what you're doing now. Cause that's completely off the charts.
It's incredible.
Just crazy stuff already. But tell us a little bit about, first of all, you walked away from being a very successful CEO of a very huge company. What did it take to actually pull the cord and just get out of that?
What did it take? I got enough of bad things, like how people behaved within other people. Mm-hmm. That it was very personal for me because I was really into like making something that was important for that group, the shareholders, but it didn't seem to be understood and I was betrayed, let's say.
Wow.
But I ended up like deciding how I would live and imposing the rules.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because of contracts but for me it was more like understanding that humans are very full of surprises and not so good surprises sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I that's why it made me hate to continue to be in business, to be to make money or so that's kind of that's why I said it's a curse because
in the world where money is everything.
Yes. Yeah. And
yeah.
And having to and to make something that matters and to make something that is more than just me building a small machine. So, because to make the things that I want to do, I need a lot of money. So, unless I start using all my economies, I end up running out of money. So I haven't found the right way yet, and that's the struggle.
Yeah, it takes money to follow your dreams, really, unfortunately, in this world.
My grandfather always said that he can make a lot of money with money, without money, and he was a very successful businessman.
Yeah, so you've taken a different tack now. And sorry, Ryan, jump in. His story and everything about him fascinates me, so I kind of like overrunning this.
I'm even interested because you said that the catalyst took you to the point where you said, I'm going to buy a boat. And sail from Europe. You're going to buy the boat in Europe and I'm going to sail it home. And you've never sailed ever in your life before.
Yeah, that was something that was kind of a common thing in my life. I bought a motorcycle when I was 35, 34. And I went to the Interlagos race court like after 6 months of ever riding a bike. So I kind of jump into the things that's my normal way, like, when I also bought a sailboat, was the same thing. And when I decided to build a 3D printer, I had no previous knowledge on mechanics or anything. So that's a kind of a common trait with me. But I could say that's how I do things. Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you what was the spark that led to this particular, you know, very underdeveloped realm of industry, which is 3D printing? I mean, there was very few people doing it and, you know, not a lot of applications for it. And yet, you know, you kind of were way ahead of the curve. Where did that come from? Why?
Way ahead of the curve.
So I always wanted to, that was my dream. I wanted to have a lab that I could make very precise equipment or very precise because I wanted to build robots that could harvest food without damaging so much the earth. Because in my previous business, we would use these huge machines that just compactate so much the earth, and they use so much energy to run, and they are very, very expensive. Therefore, you can only afford if you're a very rich company. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking like this should be have a, there should be a, another way, like ants do, and I, mm-hmm. I had this I wanted to build like this ant that that harvests. I mean, that's a common thing. I think a lot of people wants to build ants or spiders that will do mm-hmm. some work. So I had the same kind of and for me to learn to build these things, I thought, okay, I have to. I'm not an engineer. So I need to learn somewhere, and 3D printing was a way that I could learn, and the robotics, that was not just like, oh yeah, I'll start an Arduino course. Mm-hmm. For me, like starting an Arduino course, there is no purpose on itself. So I wanted to start with the 3D printing because I could accomplish things right away, mm-hmm. and then I would have to learn Arduino, I would have to learn mechanics, I would have to learn many other stuff, right?
But along the path. All with on, the purpose.
On this path that I am still on, and that's why I got the farm, right? Still this path.
Yeah. Spoiler
plan,
alert.
Yeah, exactly.
amazing. So, and then so you went from, you know, kind of a single solitary, you know, hacker in the garage, quote unquote, you know, on your own, to then expanding, opening it up, and building the first 3D printing community, at least in Shanghai, if not in China. What led you to want to break out and start bringing other people around and build a community?
Well, for me, it was a kind of an obvious thing that I couldn't have all the machines I wanted in one apartment by myself. I mean, my wife would hate me. And I decided that if I share these tools, I could actually get more tools from companies that would want to sponsor us mm-hmm. and would find it interesting to leave their machines. And this happened. So I started sharing for a very egoistic reason, which was I wanted more machines. I'm crazy about tools and machines. So that's why I started to open the labs for other people so I could grow and have more resources and accomplish this purpose.
I'm thinking kids and toys. It's very similar to just like, I want to play with more kinds of toys. I mean, we just really needed a child swap of like big Rubbermaid containers of toys, and they're just on this loop around a neighborhood of kids so that they get like new toys to play with all the time.
But like to me, that sounds like the passion is there. You know, to start a community, to build it when you're so passionate about
it. I want more toys. I need new toys.
Yes. Toys that can hurt. What was... Laser cutters.
Laser cutters.
CNCs.
What was the response that you got?
So first response was people was just like, so do it. Like they would not, I was in the hackerspace and I was trying to convince the hackerspace to buy these machines. So they didn't want, they said, well, who is going to maintain it? We don't have the money. And then, I mean, they were saying this and they said, okay, I'm buying it. Can I leave it here? Oh, but the smoke of the laser. So the first response was like, they didn't believe much on what I wanted to do. And I just started doing it. So they
you said, screw it. I want more toys anyway, so I'll just get them myself then.
I will get it myself. Actually, one of the members joined with me to buy the first laser cutter, Edward, which is a great maker, like a great hacker. And we bought it together, and I fit it in that small room of Wilding Kennedy. Yes, so first response was, Shenzhen is pretty much a duocracy. So you can do these hackerspaces, you can do whatever you want, and as long as you're doing something.
As long as you can do it. I like that. I like that, as a duocracy. Yeah.
So that's how it worked there. Yeah. You want something, you don't like the way that sign is, you go change it, you go and fix it. So that kind of also molded a bit like in my adult way of thinking. I expect people around me to think this way because I'm trying not to have anymore the situation I had as CEO that controlled 400 people. But it's also hard to have people that can take initiative by themselves, and normally people want to follow. So
yeah, so
I like the duocracies.
yeah, no doubt.
Sorry.
Was there a moment that it caught fire? Like, because I know,
like interviews, TVs coming all the time, and not even letting me work, and people. There was this here in China. And from time to time, I still get people coming.
What happened? What changed? Because I remember in the U.S., it was, you know, basically treated as the newest, hottest thing, you know, 3D printing, fabrication at home. It's going to disrupt everything. I mean, did China have the similar response? Was it negative or what happened?
No, it was super positive. People were super interested. They wanted to learn. They wanted to grasp things very fast.
Really?
That's how I think the Chinese are. They like something and they will go for it, like a tractor, you know. And everyone and they just wanted to suck out the knowledge. It was impressive, and I got a lot of attention at this time that helped me move forward.
Yeah.
And then you went with turning this into, and I'm interested just to know where the Shinfab piece came in, and you know, how did that collaboration happen?
So the Shinfab and Shinchejian collaboration. So Shinfab, Shinchejian was...
Well, you were Shinfab.
Yeah, no, I was first hacker at the hackerspace. I was first staff of the hackerspace, Shinchejian, right?
Yes.
And I rented an office to keep these toys, the tools.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Shinchejian was getting kicked out of that place that we rented.
Yeah.
And I told the staff, why we don't join forces? I get all my tools, and I was very far from them, so it was not making sense. I get all my tools. You don't like to have tools because you don't want to maintain them. So we do this hackerspace and Fab Lab together. And we can rent a bigger area. It's going to be better for the members. Mm-hmm. And the members that want to prototype, want to do something, they can go to Shinfab. We don't compete. We complement. And we start looking for places. That's when it started, this collaboration. Hmm. And that's when we
with Bob and the People Squared.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and it's been, I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, the space that we're in now, I mean, we have the China Accelerators here. And then over there, for people who want to try and maybe visualize what this is happening here.
It's a geek's paradise.
Yeah, kind of. So it's a co-working space. And I mean, we've all kinds of, like the kitchen, we ended up turning over to a cafe, a new concept cafe, so they could like beta test food, which was awesome for the people here in the space here, because we're getting like awesome good food all the time for like super cheap, because they're just testing it on us. Then you've got the accelerator. And then on the other side, you've got the hackerspace, Shinchejian, who between Shinchejian and Shinfab is a big tool room. And then inside that tool room is another smaller room where there's the drill press and I think the board ovens and
laser cutters
and all that stuff in. And so, and now you guys are like sharing responsibility and maintenance of that space in between you, where, you know, a lot of the hammering and you know, the nuts and bolts are happening. It's very, very cool, and it's a great collaboration. And then this whole space really is a, you know, we can take everybody in here now.
Yeah, and then like it's just 3D printers everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just look at like small ones, big ones, 3D printers printing other 3D printers. It's amazing.
Yeah, I remember walking in there one time, and Lucille was like, "Hey, come here, you got to see something." I just made a 3D printing. I just 3D modeled myself.
Yeah, the 3D modeling. I remember that.
And he's standing on this weird disc thing.
The disc spins you, and then he scans you, and then you're all sudden you're printed,
and you're all digitally reformed in 3D on the computer screen there and stuff like this. It was
so my this all these things, right? It's bringing me to a point that I am struggling, thinking that I don't want to produce more crap. All this modeling of myself, like these little toys. Mm-hmm. This for me is meaningless, and it's bringing more waste. And for me, the next step is how to get this into making things that
matter.
I mean, we are doing prototypes, and of course this matters. This is necessary. And there is small objects, but I feel that 3D printing is a lot of it is just about producing waste. So for me, it's the next thing is to really stop producing waste and really produce things that matter.
Okay, so on that note, we're going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors, and we'll be right back to talk more about what you're up into next over in Portugal.
Okay.
Hey everyone, we want to give a shout out to our sponsors. China Accelerator is the number one accelerator in the East. They are a mentorship-driven program that takes your ideas from all over the world and helps you make them successful in China. At the same time, we take great ideas from inside China and help them grow all over the world. If you want to find out more, please visit www.chinaaccelerator.com, and batch 10 applications are going to be open soon, so it's a really good opportunity to get in there.
We also want to thank our other sponsor, PeopleSquared. PeopleSquared is the largest and best co-working space across China. They've got 8 or 9 spaces in Shanghai. They've got spaces up in Beijing. They've got spaces down in Shenzhen. They really are the best community of people to be dealing with here. So if you have a startup and you're coming to China, PeopleSquared is your number one choice.
And we'd also like to thank our syndication partner, Technode. They are the number one source for news and information about the startup ecosystem, what's going on inside of China. They also work with TechCrunch and helped publish and syndicate that. So we're really happy to have them on as a syndication partner. You can find out more at technode.com.
Okay, we're back with Lucio, and whose last name we can't pronounce. Who
We tried. Yeah.
Pantania. God, it's just so unbelievable.
That's Italian part.
It's so cool.
Italian part.
So what is your name? Is it? What do you got? Like some Portuguese and some Italian?
Yeah,
in there?
Yeah. That's exactly. Pantania is Italian, and Guimarães is Portuguese, and Neto just means I have the same name as my grandfather.
Wow.
Oh wow. All right, this is so cool. Us Canadians are just people in China are always like, oh, what's your last name? Embly. What does your name mean?
He who embles.
Nothing. Just zero. You know, what does Todd mean? Oh, yeah, well, that definitely doesn't mean anything. So you alluded to the farm. Earlier,
you alluded to making a difference. You know, you got all this knowledge.
Okay, let's go back. Yeah, so you got to make a difference. You want to make a difference, and
with digital fabrication and a change in how farming is done. So farming today is for big companies, right? Farming and farming, there is no succession. Young people don't want to go back to farming. Mm-hmm. They inherited sometimes a farm. And they leave the farm, they abandon it. There is a lot of this in Portugal. Mm. Just abandon farms. And then you have to buy maybe food from 1,000 kilometers away, fly the food. Mm. So because I have a background in farm, in terms of not educational background, but my grandfathers were, both of them were farmers. One a very poor farmer and the other one a very rich farmer. So I have this personal attachment and a connection that I want to reinforce. And in a way, it's me again kind of getting what I like, but making it matter somehow. Mm-hmm. So I kind of think that I'm not just wasting my time or my presence here in this world, right?
Yeah.
So my project now in Portugal is to have a fab lab that will help bringing back small farmers to farming. So I want to develop technologies that will help or to make it more interesting, maybe gamifying farming. So let's say instead of playing stupid games on Facebook about farming, you would play a game that actually you are farming. Because you are helping the
Farmville world hunger solved.
Yes, something like that. So with your brain power, you actually like analyzing problems of the farmer. So, but in a game way. But that's one way, right? One project that could appear from what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Because the actual thing that I'm doing is to build the substrate for people to come and present their own ideas. So people ask me what I want to do. That's why I gave you this one example. But it could be so much things, like a drone that flies and checks for bugs or even kills that individual bug as if it's a predator. Yeah, it could be so many things. And I want to build this substract And because I know the money is a problem, and I do have economies to start it, but I cannot possibly maintain this forever, just the way I maintain the Fab Lab here. So this time I'm trying to make a business model, which I kind of, all the time when people ask me, what is your business model? I would answer, I don't not to have a business model.
Yeah.
So that was my answer before, was kind of a response to this trauma that was my previous life, which was a very successful in terms of, for me, economically. Yeah.
That's a very self-aware way of putting it.
But not fulfilling.
Yeah.
So now I want to try to have a business model which will be probably serving companies and startups that want to get out from... what is Shanghai? Shanghai, you have to take 1 hour way in and 1 hour back to your home. So you lose 2 hours. You have a very productive team of programmers, of engineers in a company, and they lose 2 hours of their time on subway. Mm-hmm. And then you have the mama complaining, or the girlfriend complaining, or or the boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And then you have the parties, you have the bars. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of distraction. So let's say you have this very specific task that you want to accomplish, and your environment is just not helping. So take this team to my farm. I'll have the equipments, the internet, everything you need for, let's say, a week or a month, whatever your budget can
full
handle. and complete that. Complete that task. When you're bored or when you're tired, go surf, because there's a 20 minutes away, 15 minutes away, there's the best waves in probably in Europe.
Wow.
That's south of Portugal.
Yeah.
And so that's the way to make money, this farm lab.
So there was, how did...
That's what I'm...
Yeah, yeah. And that's how you're bringing it about. But you had a lot of support for everything so far in China, right? Is China forward thinking about this?
No, no, no. Actually, in China, I only had support from persons.
Really?
And from some companies. I never had government support. I never looked for. Not that I would not want. I would be glad. Mm-hmm. But it's just maybe the businessman that I lack now didn't go to the work of documenting and proposing. So I was just organically growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very self-aware of this kind of lack of managerial state of my own.
Yeah.
So, but it was in a way on purpose, and in a way just I couldn't do it anymore. And so now in what I'm building, I'm changing that, because I want to build something much bigger, and I already invested a lot of money to buy the farmland, right?
Mm-hmm.
I bought about 22 hectares.
Wow.
And just wanted to point out that it's not going to be only companies there. I'm going to offer also free stays for somebody that has a project that matters for what we are doing. So volunteers will be accepted for free.
Yeah, yeah.
For free. And I hope that the community around also uses the stuff.
That's really inspirational, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's amazing. And what, may I ask, I mean, you're back in China here now. What is bringing you back every so often?
Well, I love China. That's the reason I went here. So, and I think also that maintaining this link will be useful to this new project.
Mm.
Because I think maybe... some Chinese companies and some companies like yourselves might be interested in doing this hack vacation.
Maybe we shouldn't be just talking about our own ideas here on the show, but I mean, I think that there's a lot of, there's a search amongst young people right now. And I think it's starting, the parents are starting to understand this, where they're trying to get their children new and different experiences in order to separate themselves from the pack, especially when they're applying to universities or things abroad, and then even creating a program for young people to come out in their summer vacations and things like that, to be able to spend time out there and learn some very, very different skills in a very, very different place would be very beneficial here.
Yeah.
It's nice to see you here, or that you come back, that you love China. But you didn't want to do this in China.
Well, that is different. That's me accommodating my situation. My kids, I wanted to have my kids learning my mother language, Portuguese. Mm. Brazil speaks Portuguese. And we decided to go to Portugal because Portugal has a great weather, no pollution.
They speak Portuguese. Yeah.
And I just accommodate the.
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. I'm in the same boat.
What do you think about the environment in China for this kind of shinfab, you know, 3D printing right now?
The sustainability.
I think for maker spaces, you mean, or fab labs?
Yeah, yeah.
Well. It's impressive. They are building it like rabbits. They are replicating like rabbits. That's what I've been seeing, and people just talk about it. I mean, at least in my circle. So
yeah, you certainly wouldn't have to go through the pioneering costs of what you did if you were to start it now. You know, doing this five years ago, yeah, you kind of did.
And I'm doing the pioneering stuff now again in Portugal because I don't even have electricity in my farm.
Yeah, you're a glutton for punishment.
It's true.
Electricity is so overrated.
He's going to make it.
I'm planning to start buying the machines, need it to run.
Yeah. So you're going to have to cross that bridge at some point.
Yes.
I don't know. That just all sounds really cool. I keep wanting to kind of bring it back to the China thing, and you know, the name of the show really is the China Startup Pulse. But do you think, you know, were you, I know you left for your kids, but then let's get hypothetical a bit. Could you do something like that here? And what kind of barriers do you think? I mean, do you think you would have people and young people and interest in people getting behind this kind of thing in China? Is it possible to get into that here?
I think Chinese are very pragmatic. They will look into the thing, and if it has something to bring to the table, I think they always embrace, and they are very pragmatic. Mm-hmm. That's what I say, very smart and pragmatic. So if the idea, they like it, I think... But I never thought about, because, yeah, I never thought about doing something like this here. And
would you recommend someone to follow your path here, to do what you've done to get here and to start what you've started? Would you still recommend that, or would you say the time's done, or is the time still here?
Oh, of course, to do what you like and because, look, to go to an office... and become a slave, like do accounting for the whole day. If you don't like it, if you like it, just go for it. Like, go out, do accounting 24 hours a day. Mm. But to waste your life doing something you don't like forever, that doesn't make sense. Even if you try to do whatever you like and go do like me that, and try something, and it doesn't work for 1 year, whatever, I would say just do it, because it doesn't make sense to be miserable your whole life. That's what I think. Even it might sound like a crazy idea, but it's, for me, it's much more crazy to work every day for a miserable salary and then be in debt the whole life to pay for your car, for your apartment, to get married, and all this cycle that never, you're just a slave.
Sit in traffic.
In traffic and subways. So, I mean, we have like what? We live about 80 years, maybe 90, I mean, if you're healthy. Yeah. So take 2 years and try. I don't know. I would recommend everyone, of course. Just do what you like and try. And maybe try to be less... erratic than me in terms of...
Slightly. It turned out great.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. And I think, you know, the people in this room are all a little bit like that. You know, we've all taken big risks. We just kind of threw caution to the wind, you know, came out here. I mean, I came to China when I was 34. Just like, woohoo, let's just go check it out. Yeah. Like I should, you know, people are, you know, well, their kids are like 9 and 10 years old and they're doing all these things. And I'm just like, I'm going to go to China. Not the most responsible thing or, you know, but it was like, I was running from that, to be honest. I mean, yeah. That whole clear path of what everybody thinks you should do or something. And I just wanted to be a rebel. And I just like, I don't know where I'm going to go, mm-hmm. but I'm not staying here.
Yeah.
That was like the key. I don't know where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do, but I do know I'm not staying here.
Yeah.
In this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to run and I don't know which direction or where I'm going to go. Yeah. It was just like, but anything was better than, you know, this.
And
here.
I found myself in China. Yeah. I know now that I am a maker.
So did I. So did I.
I mean, I am a maker and yeah.
I could do, yeah.
I went to look for something in China because I always loved Kung Fu or Chinese culture in general. And I went to first looking to this, you know, to look to these kind of origins. But then I found that, you know, Lucio, you're a maker. Just assume this and, and I don't know, try to make sense of it.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that's just great advice for everybody. Yeah. I don't necessarily think that it's China. So don't misunderstand us. It's not China, but it is somewhere else, somewhere different. You know, go experience, get out, get around, go, you know, around the world.
Find your local makerspace and build something.
Yeah, or go find a place.
Or whatever,
you know,
like artist or whatever you are.
Yeah. I mean, here's what you do. I mean, you could take what you're really into. And let's say you have a real passion to get into 3D printing. And you don't even know why. You're like Lucio. You're like, I don't know. I just want to make stuff. And I think 3D printing might be a way to do it. But, you know, but then you can do one of two things. You can go where there's a lot of 3D printing knowledge and a big community and stuff like that, and that's easy. Or you can go somewhere where there isn't, but be the guy who's going to figure it out and build the community for the rest of the people that are there. That's a very different way to go. Yeah. And you know, Lucio decided, he's like, he did two things. He's like, one, I want to be like really get into 3D printing and figure this out and see what I can do. And B, I'm going to go to China and do it, where actually nobody else is doing it. It's going to be just like the hardest path to actually fulfill my dream. So I don't know. Kudos and congratulations to you. And you're a massive inspiration. And I love what you're doing. I'm going to make you a promise. I am going to come out. I think at some point I'm going to bring either just me and my wife are going to come out on a trip to maybe, you know, leave the kids with it, or I'll bring my kids. But I want to come out and spend out there at least a week.
Definitely.
And pitch in and get up at 5 a.m. and feed the chickens. And
build and electricity.
I want to
build a chicken feeder.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'll do a chicken tractor. You know what that is?
No.
What is a chicken tractor? Oh, it's so chickens naturally, you know, will mill the earth because of their pecking and stuff like this. And so you put them out there in a cage and you just keep moving the cage and then the chickens will naturally. So there you go. Yeah. A little something on sustainability there.
I like it.
But anyway, Lucio, thanks very much for coming, man. It's a real pleasure. And I hope everybody really enjoyed
that was
this awesome story.
Such good information. Great story. Wow.
Thank you.
And the best.
And I hope to see all of you then. But.
Yeah, of course. I'm
all
there.
All of you. You know?
It's near a surf spot. That's all you need to
hack
say.
Hack vacation, maker vacation.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Oh, man. Now that sounds like. Yeah. That sounds marketable.
Bali is overdone, people. That's 2005. Yeah.
Let's do a hackvation.
Yeah. All right. So listen, if people do, listening to the show, want to know how they can get in touch and perhaps come and see you.
Lucio@shinfab.com. That's it. Lucio.
Right.
L-U-C-I-O.
I don't think we even, that's perfect. It's just Lucio.
Lucio.
L-U-C-I-O.
At shinfab.com.
XINFAB.com. Again, thanks very much, Lucio.
Thank you for...
And thanks, Ryan, and thanks, Vivian, over there for monitoring all our sound and making us sound good. Thanks to David on the post-production side of putting this all together for us. And thanks to you, the listeners, who listen to us. Please feel free to get back to us. You can email us at team@chinastartuppulse.com. And let us know what you think and give us some feedback or ideas. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much, and we'll see you next time.